at the Empire State Building. George Keller, technician on duty at WCBS-TV. And George, can you tell us what's happened as far as television is concerned up there?
Well, approximately 7:14 this evening, we noticed a flicker in the power, and shortly thereafter the transmitter dropped. We couldn't get it back on. And bit by bit, the light started fading, and finally, at approximately, between 7:15 and 7:20, the power went out completely, lights went out, and everything went dead.
No fire, no explosion. No fire, no explosion, George?
No, not up here, no.
Uh-huh. Are you up there alone?
No, there's one other fellow here with me now.
Uh-huh. You have no lights at all?
Nothing at all, just some flashlights.
I see. But you do have a telephone.
Right.
That's George Keller, who at the moment is one of two, as you noted, technicians on duty at WCBS-TV, which is atop the Empire State Building. And the Empire State Building, of course, is the common tower, we should say, of course, for all of the local television stations. And the Empire State Building, as just noted, has no power. And so you have no television tonight. Mayor Lindsay made a statement within the hour, in fact, within 30 minutes ago, on that power situation. And here again, in case you missed it, is what he had to say.
An explosion at Consolidated Edison's 40th Street plant in Manhattan has knocked out television broadcasting in the city and caused blackouts in parts of central Manhattan, including Times Square and parts of Queens and the Bronx. I've asked Deputy Mayor Timothy Costello to convene an emergency control board meeting immediately at City Hall. Police Commissioner Murphy advises me that there have been no requests as yet for emergency equipment. However, the Tactical Patrol Force is moving into the affected areas. The 6th Avenue Independent Subway is out of service between 42nd Street and 34th Street. One train is stalled and is being evacuated by police. Police also report some elevators in Midtown apartment buildings in Manhattan out of service. I've just talked to Consolidated Edison President Charles Luce. Consolidated Edison will report to the Emergency Control Board on the extent of damage and time required for repairs. I urge motorists to avoid the Midtown area west of 5th Avenue, if at all possible, and to drive in all affected areas with extreme caution.
That was Mayor Lindsay. The New York Telephone Company is reporting the company usually used Con Ed power, but when the emergency arose tonight, it immediately switched to a diesel emergency power source. Service was not affected. Some customers, however, experienced slow dial tones because of extremely heavy usage in affected areas. A spokesman for the telephone company has appealed to customers to confine their calls, please, to emergencies and keeping conversations very brief in order to conserve emergency power. Telephone company calling on New Yorkers to confine their calls tonight to strictly emergencies and keep conversations brief. The reason they need to conserve emergency power is noted they are running on their own emergency power source. A public service spokesman in New Jersey reports that the state is not affected by sharp voltage reductions in New York tonight. But, of course, New Jerseyans are calling newspapers and radio stations in the state to report their television sets went black after 7:15 tonight. Again, the New York television stations cannot transmit because power went out at the Empire State Building, which is their transmitting point. And the cause of all of this, as noted by Mayor Lindsay, is that explosion at the Con Ed plant at 40th and 1st Avenue in mid-Manhattan. It has affected, variously throughout the city, traffic lights on and off, as far as the city can determine, burglary systems, but it's in scattered areas, and that varies from block to block. The tactical police force is out in especially large numbers tonight, keeping an eye on everything. Portions of the subways are affected, as the mayor noted, the 6th Avenue subway, IND and IRT, in some cases, have ground to a halt. Just the IND and the IRT, according to our reports, local television has noted, is out. But the airports are unaffected, and so, too, a very important aspect of the city are the fireboxes. According to the fire department, they're all operating. So, of course, are the telephones, although the New York Telephone Company, as we noted, has appealed to all of the customers to keep their calls only to emergencies and to keep them as brief as possible because they need to conserve on emergency power. Also unaffected, as far as we know, are the railroads. Penn Central reports that everything is running fine, that there's been no effect at all on the trains, although Grand Central Terminal had its lights out. And as far as we know, that's the same case for the Long Island Railroad, the railroad running, and, of course, Kennedy and LaGuardia airports. John Linker has been checking on aspects of the power situation, and John is back in the studio. John, do you have anything more on that that earlier unconfirmed report that the Con Ed power plant is now getting back to service?
Well, George, right now, Ed Livingston of Consolidated Edison is on the telephone and has a statement to make. Ed, what is the statement of Con Ed right now?
Hello.
Go ahead, Ed. You're on the air.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, that we do have adequate generation on our system now to carry the load that we have. We do have problems in three networks in central Manhattan, and we've experienced these problems because of an explosion, which is, you've previously reported at Waterside Station. We don't know the cause of the explosion yet, but we lost the generation out of that station. Now, we have Con Ed crews working to restore service. We don't know at this point how long it will take. That is to say, restore service to central Manhattan. We know of no related trouble in other areas of the city, and I wish you'd make that clear.
You want to repeat that, Ed?
Yes, what I'm saying is that we have adequate generation on our system to meet the city's load at this time, with the exception of three networks in central Manhattan, which we've lost. And we know of no related trouble in other areas of the city, that is to say, in the other boroughs or in Westchester County.
In other words, these scattered brownouts and blackouts that we are experiencing from one section of the city to the other are confined, as far as you know, to just Manhattan. Is that right?
That's right. The central Manhattan, as a matter of fact.
Then central Manhattan is defined as what, Ed?
Well, it's the Times Square area. I can't define it for you in block areas yet, George. I'll get back to you with that. But it is, in general, that part of Manhattan in the middle.
Incidentally, Ed, is there any indication at all as to when the Waterside plant would be back in operation?
Not at this point. We're not altogether sure what the problem was, George, but as soon as I have any information, I'll be glad to let you know.
Ed, we have a reporter standing out just outside of the plant there, and perhaps we can hook the two of you into one another. So I know that Gary Moore, who's on the scene, has some questions. Gary, go ahead. See if you can pick him up, Ed.
George?
Go ahead.
I'd appreciate it if you'd hold off until we get some more information.
Mr. Livingston, this is Gary Moore. There's just one thing I'd like to ask you, and that is there any explanation from the company so far as to why, here at the scene, we've been kept in the dark?
Well, we're totally in the dark now, I think, Gary. I think Mr. Livingston has gone to attend to other duties at this moment.
Well, perhaps that itself is an answer. We don't know yet.
Gary, I take it from what you say, you've had no contact at all with Con Ed officials there. Is that right?
George, there has been absolutely no contact here with Con Ed officials, with anybody else for that matter, or even remotely related to Consolidated Edison. Nobody has come to talk with us, to talk at us, to talk to us, or even to see us, recognize us. Right now, it is raining heavily in Manhattan, by the way, and we are huddled just inside the main entrance to the Waterside 2 plant. Apparently, the company feels down through the chain of command that we'd be better off not getting too wet, so they've allowed us into the very small lobby of the building, but still, no word from inside the plant or from without, for that matter, as to what the cause of the blackout is, or even, for that matter, whether or not there really is a problem inside the plant. We just do not know.
Well, of course, we've been told that, Gary, as you probably have heard, that there is a problem, but Con Ed just wasn't able to pinpoint, according to Ed Livingston, who was on the air live just a few moments ago, and whom you attempted to address a question to, that there was an explosion in that plant. The exact nature of it, or as to how long that plant will be out of commission, we just don't know at this point. How long have you been huddled there, Gary?
Well, it's been a little over an hour now, and what I was getting at as to the problem in the plant was to the extent of it. Perhaps I didn't make myself clear, but what we're basically interested here is what is the problem and to what extent is there a problem. So far, it's been an hour, and there's been no word here at the scene.
Well, according to Ed Livingston, the spokesman for Con Ed, we might just briefly recap. According to him, there are three generators affected in the borough of Manhattan only, and only in what he referred to as the Times Square area, which would be generally central Manhattan or the Midtown area. And it, of course, is very scattered. It varies considerably from spot to spot, and it takes various effects, such as no elevators in one case, one building will be without power, another will be with it. In some cases, on some street corners, the traffic lights are not working. On others, just a few blocks away, they are working. But Mr. Livingston at Con Ed assures us that the power breakdown, if we may call it that, is limited only to central Manhattan, and contrary to some of the reports, interestingly enough, that we've been receiving from other boroughs, There should be no effect at all in the other boroughs. It's a rather interesting counterpoint because it doesn't square with all the information that we've been getting in here tonight. But according to him, as we say, only parts of the central Manhattan area are affected, and in a kind of crazy patchwork quilt fashion. Television is blacked out for viewers of New York City stations, as we've duly noted before, of course. And George Keller, technician on duty at the WCBS-TV transmitter on top of the Empire State Building, we talked with George a short while ago. George is back on the line now, and George, perhaps you can explain why all of the stations went out.
Well, apparently all the feeders coming into the Empire State Building, I'm not sure exactly how many we have from the power company, are dead. There's usually separate feeders coming in for the TV stations, but I would imagine they get their power from the plant that's out. And also, it looks like the elevators are not working. The lights are out. The lights that are used to illuminate the building are also out. Looking out the window, all we can see is it looks normal from about 42nd Street up, but around this area there seems to be, almost total darkness. The street lights are out and some of the building lights are out.
How many stations, television stations, are share that common TV antenna, George?
Well, it's not a common TV antenna, but all the New York stations are located on the top of the Empire State Building.
All of the New York City television stations.
That's right.
You don't have a breakdown, do you, of the AM stations?
There's no AM stations up here, no.
What about FM, George?
FM, we have our FM, and there are, at least another dozen FM stations up here that are all off also.
You must be isolated on the highest perch in the city of New York right now. Well, no elevator service, and that's a long walk down.
That's right. We're on the 83rd floor, and there are stations all the way up to the 85th floor. So we're pretty close to the top.
I take it you just plan to wait it out, George. I guess that's the
that's
better
right.
Choice.
It was a long walk down. It's also a long walk up for my relief. So I think I'm going to be waiting up here.
George Keller, technician on duty at the moment, and it looks like a long extra duty for George tonight at the WCBS-TV transmitter, which is way up on top of the Empire State Building. Checking other news, there is other news at tonight, despite the scattered power brownouts and blackouts in the Manhattan area. British troops and Catholic demonstrators have clashed once again in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The army says one soldier suffered a wound in the arm and fired back and thought he may have hit two of the rioters. Reports from Israel say there will be no pullback of Israeli troops from the Suez Canal, as urged by Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, unless such a withdrawal is part of a formal peace agreement. Senator Edmund Muskie says he is opposed to American support of any South Vietnamese push into Laos. Muskie says what the United States has done in the name of cutting enemy supply lines has gone beyond this objective in some instances. The Apollo 14 astronauts say they are in great shape and will be working this evening on experiments that may lead to better products on Earth. New York City's nonpartisan budget, Citizens Budget Commission, that is, says the subway fare will rise to 40 cents by the beginning of next year unless the city transit system receives substantial new aid. The Airport Security Council says a tough crime control program has sharply reduced cargo thefts at Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark airports. Of course, one of the big questions in view of the power failure in some parts of Manhattan, and we understand from Con Ed that it is strictly confined to Manhattan and in the central part of the borough of Manhattan, has been, of course, the effect on transportation, the airports, the trains, the subways, and so forth. Well, in case you're wondering and have just joined us, the airports are in fine shape. They are unaffected. So, too, are telephones, although the New York Telephone Company is urging all of its customers only to use the phones in an emergency, and in those cases only use them as briefly as possible. They're on their own emergency diesel power. The Penn Central Railroad reporting everything fine there, with the exception of Grand Central Terminal, which is now without lights. But the trains are running fine. Pretty much, that's the picture of the subway system, too, with the exception of the 6th Avenue IND line. That line has been affected by some slow-ups, the result being the fact that some of the electronic lights, of course, are electric lights, I should say, are not working because of scattered powered blackouts, and so they're using flagmen. John Linker is back in the studio now, 2 minutes before nine. John, what's new?
Well, we hear now that the brownout, so-called, with very low power and no elevator service or any facilities that require heavy power loads, is affecting as far down as 38th Street and goes from the east side all the way to the west side. It's very difficult, as we heard before, to try and pinpoint exactly how far this power outage goes. The brownout apparently has a very limited amount of voltage, which gives you some light. You can at least see your way around and you don't trip over the furniture. But as far as getting up and down in elevators, that is out. And a little lighter note, one of our listeners on Staten Island, a very charming lady, called to say that her television set isn't working over there either. She's not receiving programs in Staten Island as well as in Manhattan.
Well, of course, that goes the other side of the Hudson as well, John. Anybody who watches New York City television is not watching any television tonight. The reason is because among the scattered power blackouts, of course, is that big Empire State Building, which has no power. And, of course, there is, of course, no local television. And, of course, in some cases, FM radio stations have their antennae up on top of that Empire State Building. And, of course, they're not on the air either. Not until Con Ed gets that power restored. Con Ed's spokesman noted a short while ago that three generators are affected, he said. And as John noted, in the central Manhattan area, from one side of the river, one river, I should say, to the other river, from the East River to the Hudson River, affecting an area generally described as the Times Square area in particular, but of course much broader than that. It goes from the 40s all the way down to 38th Street, and as we say, from the East River to the Hudson River. But of course they're scattered, so they vary from section to section. A spokesman for Mayor Lindsay said that they had just received the report that all the hospitals are okay. Hospitals in the city of New York are not affected by the scattered brownout and blackouts. You're in tune with WCBS News Radio in New York at the tone. The time is 9 o'clock.
This is CBS in New York, WCBS News Radio 88.
Incidentally, we should say that WCBS has called a number of restaurants in the affected area of the East Central Manhattan blackout, scattered blackout area. Some reported business was normal, as was the power in some cases, they told us. One of these was the Tamburlaine restaurant on East 48th Street. Others on the east side, such as the Cattleman East and Danny's, didn't even answer the phone. Much of the same for the Wienerwald on 3rd Avenue and 43rd Street. No answer. Maybe they're not open on Sundays. Public service spokesman in New Jersey has reported that the Garden State is not affected by the sharp voltage reductions in New York City tonight, of course, but New Jerseyans are affected by the fact that they have no New York City television. A Con Ed spokesman says the Waterside plant has a capacity of 600 megawatts. That's, of course, where the trouble has been pinpointed. It was not known just how much was being generated at the time of the blast. In fact, we don't know an awful lot about the blast. A Long Island Railroad spokesman says none of its trains was affected into or out of Penn Station. Of course, Penn Central tells us the same, going for Grand Central, although that terminal is in darkness. The trains are running. And to add to the city's problems, hail began falling in some parts of the city at the same time the voltage was reduced. The sanitation department says its teletype machines were out until 8:45, just 16 minutes ago, but they're now back. The department used telephones and radios to order salt spreaders into position when road conditions warrant their use. A sanitation department spokesman says 180 trucks were available to keep roads clear. All we can tell you, of course, in that regard is to reiterate what Mayor Lindsay cautioned just about half an hour ago, as you may have heard. If you don't have to drive into Midtown Manhattan tonight, don't by all means. Jack Welby, our man, is now at the Empire State Building, having moved from the Hudson River Tunnel. Jack, what's
up? Hello, George. For me, it's a very unique experience sitting in the lobby of the Empire State Building in total darkness. I've been on 34th Street. Very, very few pedestrians, as you can imagine, because the weather is really, really terrible. The lights going westbound on 34th, or actually in both, both directions, between 5th Avenue and Lexington, are blacked out. I counted dozens of police vehicles coming into the affected area. Very few pedestrians, as I mentioned. Going back to what I said before, the only traffic problem I noted was on 2nd Avenue, 33rd, 31st Street, with the lights remaining unread, cars having to go through. Now, as far as the situation is on 34th Street, with the exception of in the Empire State Building, there are, as I believe you might have reported before, there are some people still up on the 102nd floor, but they are okay. There's no problem. It's just that, as they have done in previous blackouts, the people just remain where they are. They're very comfortable. They're warm, you know, well taken care of. And the people in the lobby, officials, are in contact with them. There's no problem in that respect, just that they can't use the elevators. Now, once the power comes back on, naturally, they'll come down and everything will be taken care of. But there's no rough situation, no panic situation. Guards are walking around with their flashlights. The lobby, like I say, is completely dark, with the exception of the occasional flashlight or lantern you see, and that's about it.
Jack, there's no word yet on when Con Ed may get full power restored, and we ought to add here that Con Ed insists that this, despite some reports that we've been getting in earlier this evening in particular, that the power brownouts and scattered blackouts have affected only what they call the central Manhattan area. But Jack, I wonder, was there a point below which you're down at the Empire State Building now? Was there a point below which you noticed the lights and activity seemed to be normal?
Seems to me, George, like I say, when I came down 2nd Avenue, I went down into the 20s, I noticed nothing awry. It seemed that the problem is right in the Midtown area, and when you say the Times Square area, right around 34th Street, Empire State Building, down to Lexington, it seems like it is a rather small area. Now, there may be pockets of blackout or brownout at other sections, probably on the periphery of this particular area. But I don't think, from what I have seen to the north and to the south, it seems like the problem areas between 5th Avenue and Lexington, around 34th and right in this particular area of Manhattan. As I say, in the Empire State Building, the lights are still out. You know, we're in complete darkness. There are people on the 102nd floor. They're well taken care of. Traffic, as far as I'm concerned, it looks to be just about normal for a rainy Sunday night in New York.
Small area, as you noted, Jack, but probably no more important area in the country, the Midtown Manhattan area. And, of course, one of the biggest impacts, of course, is on people who want to sit home and watch television tonight. Unless you can get a non-New York City station, you're not getting anything. And the reason, of course, is that is Jack Welby, who's down there in the Empire State Building, which is on the fringe of this scattered power blackout and brownout problem in the New York City area. The reason is there's no power down there, as Jack noted, and of course with no power down there, there's no television being broadcast from the antennae on top of the roof. One of the people with a bird's eye view of the power failure is Mr. Francois, the maitre d' of the Rainbow Grill, which is high up on the 66th floor of the RCA building on West 50th Street.
From 34th to 53rd Street, it's very dark, yes. The street doesn't have any lights and the building doesn't have any lights. Everything is dark. Usually it's very bright. It's auto's light and Empire State light. No, it's beautiful. But from now it looks like reminded the blockout many years ago. You remember when everything went out? When you look at that section, you're looking at New York when it's completely blockout.
That was Monsieur Francois, the maitre d' of the Rainbow Grill, who isn't seeing very colorful rainbows of anything tonight from Midtown Manhattan. We should note that that power failure is, as we say, scattered, affecting some areas of Midtown Manhattan, not affecting others. Transportation is in pretty good shape. The hospitals, we're told, are okay. Fireboxes are fine. Telephone service okay, although the telephone company is urging its patrons not to use the telephone except in cases of emergencies, and in those cases only to use it sparingly and be as brief as possible. There is some trouble on the IND and IRT subways, although otherwise things are in pretty good shape. And if you don't have to go out tonight, the best word from our man at the WCBS Weather Center, who's Chief Meteorologist Gordon Barnes, is to stay home. Right, Gordon?
That's very true, George. At this hour, we are getting quite a few phone calls over here, and in some way, I guess an outside chance, related to the aspect about the power failure. The power failure, of course, is a mechanical thing, whereas the other one that is happening around the New York area is Mother Nature. Scattered thunderstorms have moved into and around the metropolitan area. These thunderstorms are accompanied by a very vivid display of lightning, some high winds, and locally heavy rain now reported at LaGuardia Airport. Other areas are reporting a mixture of freezing rain, sleet, and snow. And the roads are beginning to get quite slippery, especially in the Bronx, portions of Queens, as well as northern New Jersey. And, of course, we we urge everyone to drive with extra caution. Even if they have to go out, we suggest that they stay at home. Anyway, for the next few hours, there will be some scattered thunderstorms barreling across the New York area, and don't get them confused with the power. They are accompanied by some rather heavy rain, high winds, and, of course, that vivid display of lightning. The mixed precipitation will change to all rain during the night and then end sometime tomorrow. And that's Mother Nature's contribution to the situation around New York tonight, George.
Some contribution, Gordon Barnes. And what's it apt to be like underfoot and under tire at the rush hour in the morning?
Right now, it looks like it'll be fairly good because the warm air is already located in central New Jersey, and it should move into the New York area during the night, changing that mixed precipitation to an all rain. Of course, since some of the rain will be locally heavy, we'll have flooding of highways to worry about, as well as those normal puddles and potholes. So brace up.
Oh, we do have a bit of a silver lining. Incidentally, all your lights on over there?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're getting a lot of pilot reports tonight on these thunderstorms. That's another reason we were able to pick them up, along with our great network of cooperative observers around the area. We did have one problem earlier. The U.S. National Weather Service radar, located at Rockefeller Center, was down for a while, but it seems to be operating fairly normally at this point.
Gordon Barnes, chief meteorologist on duty at the WCBS Weather Center, bringing us up to 9 minutes past nine, 9:09. It's raining and sleeting in town right now, and we have a few problems, particularly in Midtown Manhattan. They began just about 2 hours ago, almost to the moment. And they began at the waterside station of Con Ed at 1st Avenue and 40th Street, where an explosion, we're still not exactly sure what, and Con Ed doesn't seem to either, knocked out three generators, and we don't know exactly when they're going to be in. But they resulted in scattered power brownouts and blackouts in the New York City area, particularly and specifically, according to Con Ed, in the central Manhattan area, limited entirely to the central Manhattan area, we should say. Police headquarters say that it has received several calls for emergency service units to help remove people trapped in elevators when the power cutback occurred. There is no word on any injuries resulting from those incidents. Now, here's Charles Luce on the line, the chairman of the board of Con Ed. And Mr. Luce, what can you tell us as of the situation right now?
Well, I can bring the news up to date a little beyond what Ed Livingston was able to tell you 20 minutes ago. I've been in touch with our waterside station where the explosion occurred. The foreman in charge tells me that the reason for the explosion was a transformer, one or more transformers. It was not the boiler in the plant. He says that he's already bringing the plant back onto the line, and that by about 11 o'clock he thinks he'll have it back on the line. So, of course, that's good news in that the damage is not to the generating station itself.
So it appears to be one or more transformers. Was that is that correct?
That was the report that I got from the station.
And
from Waterside Station, yes.
And Mr. Luce, they're expected to be back on the line by 11 o'clock.
Well, the plant, the generating plant, is expected to be back on the line by then.
Mm-hmm.
The restoration of service to the three networks that were knocked out in mid-Manhattan may take longer or shorter time than that.
Well, normally, what would it take? Would you expect? We'd heard something like 1 to 2 hours.
I don't know that there's any such thing as normal in one of these situations. We've had to get our crews out, of course, on a Sunday night to get to work on this, and they're already out and working on it. Just depends on what difficulties they may run into. When you re-energize an entirely underground system like we've got, you can't do it all at once, or you have further blowouts and more difficulty, so it has to be put in sections at a time. I checked particularly to see whether we had any system trouble outside of mid-Manhattan, for example, in the Bronx or Queens, because there had been reports of brownouts in those areas. Our people don't think that those reports were correct. In other words, the voltage has been normal throughout our system, except in these three networks in mid-Manhattan.
Specifically, Mr. Luce, just what area is affected? Have you been able to pinpoint it?
Well, I can only describe it by the networks, which were Times Square and Greeley Square and Grand Central.
So that's of course, the Midtown Manhattan
right,
area.
The Midtown Manhattan area. Now, the way these networks are laid out, it's, of course, entirely possible for the lights to be on one side of the street and not on another, not on the other side, depending on which network they're served from.
Well, of course, those are the way the reports have been coming into us, and I'm sure have been coming into you too. But that
would explain the spotty nature of the outages in Midtown Manhattan.
And that would go from river to river here in the Midtown area.
Yes, yeah, in sort of a checkerboard fashion.
I wonder if you might do for us, Mr. Luce, if you could just at 13 minutes now past the hour of 9, just briefly recap the situation as it stands at this moment.
Well, okay. As the situation stands at this moment, the trouble that caused the, or tripped, or brought about the outages has been isolated and determined to be an explosion that occurred in a transformer, possibly in two transformers, at the waterside station. The electrical effects of this blow-up of the transformer caused the waterside generating station to trip off and caused the circuit breakers on three underground network service areas that serve Midtown Manhattan to open and those networks to go dead. The waterside station is now being brought back onto the line. The crews are out attempting to put back the networks into service a piece at a time as rapidly as it's humanly possible to do it, and they should be back on later this evening. It would be only a guess as to how long it would take. We'll do it as fast as possible. I would think within an hour or two, lights should begin coming back on in the affected areas. We have no indication that there was any electrical trouble outside of Midtown Manhattan service in the Bronx and Queens, for example, tonight. As far as our indications show, was normal.
So would you hazard a prediction, Mr. Luce, as to when the normal power could be restored to the area?
Well, I would think that it would be largely restored by midnight, but that prediction could be a little off either way. It'll be restored just as fast as we can. But it depends on what our men run into as they restore service.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Charles Luce, the chairman of the board of Con Ed. We've been talking with Mr. Luce live. It's 9:15. And just briefly to recap, the area affected is the Midtown area.
Mr. Luce.
Midtown area of Manhattan. And in a scattered way, and as you just heard Mr. Luce note, he expects a full power, or hopes certainly to have full power restored in areas which are affected by midnight tonight. One of our many reporters who's been out on the scene is Palmer Payne. Palmer's back in the studio. What do you have here for us, Palmer?
We've just been in contact with the Grand Central Terminal, George, and the Penn Central trains are moving into and out of Grand Central Terminal. There had been a report that the trains had stopped. They're moving, however, only sporadically, as the man told me. Switches and signals are operating properly, but there's difficulty on the Penn Central communicating with the towers along the right-of-way at various points, and each train, outbound or inbound, must stop at each tower and identify itself by number. That means the engineer has to lower his window, yell up, "Hey, Charlie, this is number 437, and Charlie tells him either go or stop, as the case may be.
Like the old days.
And Grand Central is still in the darkness, in spite of earlier reports that the fire department apparently is on the way with emergency lighting. He tells me that we're using the train's headlights and the lighting inside the coaches to get the people on board and off safely. Trains are moving, but sporadically.
I assume that a similar picture would probably be the case for Long Island Railroad, although the railroad has...
Oddly enough, perhaps.
Strangely.
The Long Island Railroad.
The case of a Long Island.
Yeah. Have your tickets ready, because the Long Island reports operations into and out of Penn Station are normal. The word is normal. They're not affected by the power failure, and Penn Station is not affected. Well, we heard earlier, of course, the upper level of Penn Station being Madison Square Garden and the Felt Forum, things going along there.
Of course,
well,
being
the Long
Sunday
Island
night.
Railroad, for a change, is operating normally, while the Penn Central is moving, but sporadically because of the situation. Again, I suppose commuters will recall that the towers, they're about five stories high with a big goldfish bowl at about the third story level. That's where they control the railroad. The switches are all right. Signals are all right, but they can't communicate, so each train has to stop at the tower on the way into and the way out of Grand Central and let the man know who he is.
Now, what about the Penn Station? Did the Penn Central indicate that the same effect is on their trains in and out of
Penn Station? Everything's all right. They're not
just Grand Central.
Just Grand Central and the Penn Central.
Which, of course, we might add would be the lines, Westchester, the
Connecticut.
Stanford, Connecticut, Boston lines, Hartford, so forth, New Haven.
And, of course, as far as the morning goes, who knows at this point? Probably everything will be all right for commuters.
Well, we hope so. As we noted, Charles Luce told us live just a few moments ago, he's the chairman of the board of Con Ed, and they have pretty much pinpointed the problem now and isolated it. In fact, he says, an explosion in one or two of the transformers, and Mr. Luce indicated, hopefully, that the waterside generating station would be back on the line and full power restored in the affected area, which, again, he stresses is the Midtown Manhattan area only, and in scattered cases of brownouts and blackouts. They expect to have, hopefully, all of that back on the line and everything back to normal by midnight, which is just less than 3 hours away. Of course, one of the biggest factors has been the loss of television for not only New York City dwellers, but, of course, the New York City stations serve a vast metropolitan area, affecting people in Westchester and Nassau, Suffolk and New Jersey, all over. And, of course, until power is restored to the Empire State Building, there won't be any television. Back in our studio is John Linker. John?
George, an interesting phenomenon is taking place. While Mr. Luce was speaking over WCBS, it seems that the power outage got worse in sections of the Midtown area. The Lincoln Building, for instance, which had enough power to keep the lights going, although not enough power to keep the elevators going, is now out of power completely. We received many calls from the Murray Hill section, and they said that they had limited power, and while Mr. Luce was speaking, it went out completely. And we also got calls from the Lexington and 38th Street area of Manhattan to say the same thing, that the power has been going out. One explanation could be the fact that the generating plant is making adjustments in order to put some of these circuits back on the line and consequently is deliberately pulling power temporarily from some of these areas in order to accomplish this. So that is a situation in New York at this stage of the game. There are more outages being reported as Con Ed apparently is trying to get the circuits back into operation.
Again, the crazy part of this patchwork quilt effect in the Midtown Manhattan area. And as we noted, of course, television stations, that is New York City television stations, are off the air. And you may at this point be wondering why we are on the air. Well, we, our transmitter is not on top of the Empire State Building. It's on a high island in Long Island Sound. And there is no power outage there at all. So here we are at 20 minutes past nine. Police headquarters says it has received several calls for emergency service units to help remove people who have been trapped in elevators when the power cutback occurred here in the Midtown Manhattan area. There are no reports, though, of any injuries at all resulting from those incidents. Police manning the special 911 emergency number report a significant increase in the number of calls. That's understandable, certainly, mostly for information concerning the absence of television broadcasting or for information on the extent of the blackout. Police request that people not call 911 for that kind of information only. They, of course, are taking all emergency calls. They simply ask that calls be limited, please, to those of emergency nature, which, after all, is what the 911 number is for. We have another report from a man at Park Avenue and 37th Street, and that area, which had power up till now, has lost it entirely as of just a few moments ago. That's, as John Linker reported just a few minutes ago. Some cases, that's what's happening in the city as Con Ed rushes to restore full power in the affected area, which is central Midtown Manhattan. Some people are actually losing power. WCBS called a few hotels tonight in the affected brownout areas, mainly between 50th and 30th Street on the east side, although the area affected isn't limited to the east side. For many of them, the brownout has halted elevator service for more than 2 hours. At one hotel, the Sheraton Russell Hotel on Park Avenue and 37th Street, the power was also browned out, and the woman at the reception desk told us that hotel residents would have had an easier time getting upstairs than she would, since the Sheraton Russell is only 9 stories high. The receptionist told us she lives across the street on the 16th floor of another building. When asked how she was going to get home, she said quite simply she was going to walk up one floor at a time till she got to the 16th, then have a taste of something relaxing. The desk clerk at the Stratford Hotel on East 32nd Street says there are no lights in the hotel and that all the elevators are out due to the brownout. While New York City television stations are off the air, there are several stations in other cities that can be received with varying degrees of satisfaction. In some parts of the New York metropolitan area, for example, channels 3 and 8 originate in Hartford and New Haven, respectively. That's Connecticut, of course. Channels 3, 6, and 10 come out of Philadelphia. Subscribers to cable television are, of course, receiving the cable programs unaffected. Incidentally, Channel 41, that's of course UHF, broadcast from a transmitter in New Jersey, and so it is still on the air. That station usually broadcasts mostly in Spanish, but they say they have been covering tonight's problems in both Spanish and English. As to the hospitals, a spokesman at Columbus Hospital says, we're only having problems with our televisions, nothing else. Roosevelt Hospital reports, really no major problems except for television reception, and a spokesman said the hospital had not had to switch to any emergency power to continue operations. Incidentally, the Daily News says its presses are still halted, but the New York Times, which isn't that far away from the Daily News, reports it's still in good shape. A statement from Commissioner Charles Leadham of the Department of Marine and Aviation tonight. This statement was issued within the half hour. He said that ferry boat service is normal, and if an emergency should occur, special generators were ready. The boats have self-generating diesel engines. The stations for the ferry service do run on Con Ed power and are not affected. About half an hour ago, New York City Fire Commissioner Robert Lowry and the Chief of the Department, John O'Hagan, issued the following statement, and I quote, operators of all department vehicles are advised to use caution when traveling on streets of Manhattan due to possible hazards caused by the present power failure. Of course, they're alluding to the fact that in some sections of the Midtown area, there are no traffic lights, or for that matter, there are no street lights in some sections. But it's a patchwork quilt kind of thing. And according to Charles Luth, the chairman of the board of Con Ed, it is limited to the central Manhattan area, running from the, of course, East River on the east to the Hudson River on the west. But it is limited, he insists, to this area, and of course it is scattered. Marine radio broadcasts to boats in New York Harbor also have been affected, although the reason, we're told, could not immediately be determined. Apparently they're not altogether sure that it's a result of this Con Ed failure at their waterside generating plant, which Mr. Luce, the chairman of the board of Con Ed, told us within the hour he expects, or hopes certainly, will be back in full service by 11 o'clock and full power restored about an hour later by midnight tonight. Incidentally, the power reduction caused traffic lights, as we noted, on some Manhattan streets to stay either red or green, which posed bits of traffic problems, although on Sunday night, fortunately, that wasn't too bad. Civilians are reported to be directing traffic at some of those intersections, and traffic jams developed, of course, at the more heavily traveled intersections. Lights dimmed in some fashionable east side apartment houses, as did street lights on the avenues below. Neon signs in the area's many discotheques, this is the Midtown area, and the nightclubs flickered, dimmed, sometimes died. And the fabled Great White Way of Broadway in the Times Square area was partially not so white. The gaudy elaborate advertising signs dimmed in some cases, and in some cases, theater marquees were black. Several listeners to In the 30s have called to say that as Mr. Luce was speaking about the brownout, the power went out up and down Lexington Avenue as far as they could see, as far as they could see from their vantage point in the 30s. There had been some power before that, they said, in that area. Two Door City, we understand, is now out. But again, repeating, Mr. Luce of Con Ed was hopeful that the full power service would be restored to the affected area, which is the central Manhattan area, he tells us, about midnight, or certainly by midnight tonight. Although he couldn't, of course, be absolutely 100% sure of that. He was hopeful that it would be. We might remind you that the New York Telephone Company reports the company usually uses Con Ed power, but right now is using emergency power, its own diesel emergency power source. Service is not affected, but some customers have experienced slow dial tones because of extremely heavy usage in affected areas. And along that line, the telephone company is appealing to its customers tonight to confine their calls to emergencies and to keep their conversations brief in order to conserve emergency power. The airports, Kennedy and LaGuardia, reporting their operations are not affected by the power failure. There are some scattered delays on the subways, notably the IND and the IRT lines, although we're informed that everything is running, although it's in some cases running very slow. That also would go for the Penn Central trains out of Grand Central Terminal, not Penn Station, but the Penn Central trains out of Grand Central, which of course would be the old New Haven Division line going up into the Westchester area of New York, and on into points in Connecticut and farther east into Providence and Boston. They're affected. That is to say, they're running behind time because some of the signals are out because of the scattered power failure in the Midtown area. And with the signals out, As Power Payne noted, they're having to crank down the windows and yell to the control towers as they pass them to make sure that everything's clear on the track ahead. So, of course, it means a slower operation. This whole scattered power failure occurred, we might tell you, or remind you, at about 7:10 tonight. And as the technician at WCBS-TV transmitter atop the Empire State Building noted, and this is incidentally just about where the first impact was felt, because television went out totally in the New York City area. All of the VHF stations, of course, used the top of the Empire State Building to transmit. And when the power went out of the Empire State Building, there was no television to view. That occurred at just about 14 minutes past 7 o'clock, 7:14, and according to Charles Luce, the chairman of the board of Con Ed, he tells us the trouble now has been pinpointed to an explosion in one or two transformers, he's not sure which, possibly even three, said Mr. Luce, at the Waterside Generating Station, at, of course, about that time, about 14 minutes past 7 o'clock. They now have the, they're putting the Waterside Generating Station back on the line. They hope to have it back on the line about 11 o'clock, according to Mr. Luce, and they hope to have full power restored to the affected area, which is central Manhattan, about an hour later. That would be just about midnight. Responding to query about reports of blackouts in areas of the Bronx and the Queens, a Con Ed spokesman said the problem at Waterside, which is, of course, the site of the explosion, is reflected in mid-Manhattan only. And he said if any other blackouts do exist, they were caused by other factors about which the utility is not immediately aware. The spokesman said that Con Ed has not yet determined the area of Manhattan affected by the power trouble, although it did note that it was central Manhattan, the midtown area, as Mr. Luce noted. He said the trouble spanned mid-Manhattan in a checkerboard fashion. Again, for those of you in areas not covered by the power failures, the reason you can't get television reception is that all the major New York City television stations and most FM stations, as well as broadcasts from the Empire State Building, which is completely blacked out.
CBS in New York, WCBS News Radio 88.
Which, of course, is on the air because we do not broadcast from the top of the Empire State Building. We broadcast from High Island, off City Island, and Long Island Sound. When we refer to the affected areas in Manhattan, incidentally, with regard to this scattered power blackout, we realize that in the sense of loss to TV reception, the entire metropolitan area is obviously affected. And it's also affected by what's happening weather-wise, and there's a lot of weather on tap. Let me run it down very briefly for you from Gordon Barnes in the Weather Center. At the moment, it is raining and sleeting over sections of New York City. Our temperature at 35 degrees. It's gusty, brisk winds out of the northeast at 17 miles an hour. Those gusts to 35. There's a wind chill factor, too. It feels 23. Humidity is 96%, barometer 30 inches even, and she's falling. And that's not all that's falling tonight. Gordon Barnes says it'll be cloudy and windy with snow, sleet, and freezing rain, gradually changing to all rain during the night. Some accumulation of snow and ice likely in normally colder suburbs and roads will be slippery. Also a chance of scattered thunderstorms accompanied by strong winds and locally heavy rain, lows of 28 to 34. That's all for overnight. You name it, weather-wise, we're expecting to get it in sections of the metropolitan area. Tomorrow, cloudy and windy with rain ending, turning colder in the afternoon. Highs tomorrow, 35 to 41. And the outlook for Tuesday, says Gordon, variable cloudiness, cold though, with snow flurries and a high in the 20s. Incidentally, one of the places completely affected by the power failure is Cobb's Club Car in Grand Central Station. An employee there explained that the popular commuter cocktail lounge is operating in the dark.
We got candlelights all over the place doing business. On the whole, 99% of them are calm, and they're eating their food, and they're enjoying it. Especially the atmosphere. We don't usually have this much atmosphere in the place. Well, I think people act a little bit normal when the lights go out. It's when the lights are on that they're not normal. It's a crazy world, you know. And I guess a little shock like this once in a while calms them down. They just sit there and think a while, and then they act pretty normal. We get all the nuts during the daytime. Well, we had one check walk out, that's all. The rest of them all paid. We have no problems. The people are acting normal. They're enjoying themselves. No problems at all.
That was a philosopher, an employee of a commuter cocktail lounge in the darkened Grand Central Station. By the way, although the station is dark, the Penn Central reports that its trains are running, although out of Grand Central, they're not necessarily running on time. They're running extra slowly because of signal problems, another one of the aspects of that scattered power failure in the Midtown area. They are running, but they are running slowly in many cases, at least until they get out of Manhattan. Those, of course, are trains on the old New Haven Division line up into Connecticut and the Westchester County, the northern suburbs of the New York City area. We're told, though, that the Long Island Railroad reports that all its trains, of course, which use Penn Station, not Grand Central Terminal, are running normally, right on time. That also goes for the Penn Central trains, which also use Penn Station. Of course, not. That's not the case in the case of Grand Central. The airports, of course, are unaffected. Kennedy and LaGuardia reports all their flights are right on time. We might add that the police manning the special 911 emergency number in Manhattan report a significant increase in the number of calls, mostly, of course, for information concerning the absence of television broadcasting or for information on the extent of the blackout, which Con Ed has noted is in the central Manhattan area only. Police request that people not call the 911 for information only. They, of course, are taking all emergency calls. They simply ask that calls be limited to those of emergency nature, which, after all, is what the 911 number is all about. Jack Welby is still down at the Empire State Building, which I guess is still blacked out. Is that right, Jack?
That's right, George. I'm in the lobby still. The lights are blacked out, and I got a point of information. One gentleman told me, he said that in the past when there was a blackout here, the officials had decided that they would set up a bank of lights or a bank of batteries, a special power system to run the elevators in case of another blackout, and apparently that plan was never followed through on, carried through, because now there are no emergency lights whatsoever to speak of in the lobby area, just flashlights. As I mentioned before, there are still people up on the 102nd floor. They're still there. No problems upstairs. And I'm sorry, one light has just come on downstairs here in the Empire State Building, and it's possible that power might be on its way back. So let me check around, George, and let me try to get back to you.
All right, Jack. Jack Welby, who's down at the Empire State Building. We'll be keeping in touch with Jack, who is, you just heard, noted that one light has come on down there. It may be a good omen, hopefully. Empire State Building, of course, is where the impact, at least, is where it all was initially felt, because on top of that, the tall building in mid-Manhattan is where all of the New York City television stations, at least VHF stations, have their antenna. And, of course, when the power went out at the Empire State Building, the stations went off the air. When we refer to all the stations with antennae located on top of that Empire State Building, that takes in quite a few as well. All the VHF television stations in New York City use the Empire State. Those are channels 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. And UHF television stations 47 and 53 also transmit from up there and are therefore also affected. And many FM radio stations have their antennae facilities there, too. A total of 12 of them do. We'll run them down for you. They are, may I remind you, all FM stations. WQXR, WHOM, WLIB, WBAI, WNCN, WOR, WPIX, all of these FM stations. Many of them have AM counterparts. WNYC, WRFM, WCBS FM, WNBC FM, and WABC-FM. As we say, all of these are FM stations. There are no AM radio transmitters on the Empire State Building, and of course you're listening to an AM station right now, WCBS News Radio, and we're on the air because our transmitter is on High Island and Long Island Sound. Again, recapping the word from Charles Luce, the chairman of the board of Con Ed, who spoke live on WCBS News Radio here within the hour, he told us that the area affected, that is, one or two transformers...